Welcome to Vegas Revealed and Happy New Year. It's episode 50.
Happy New Year, everyone. We've got a lot coming up on today's show. We sit down with singer, songwriter, and longtime Vegas headliner, Matt Goss. We are talking about new music he has coming out. He's telling a bunch of stories about Las Vegas through the years. You got to hear some of these. And he's also started a new venture.
Yeah, and this is outside of what we would expect from Matt, but he's got some good stories to tell. It's all coming up right now on Vegas Revealed.
Welcome to Vegas Revealed, everyone. It is officially 2021, and we are at episode 50. I'm Dana Roselli.
And I'm Sean McAllister. I don't know about you, Dana, but 2021 feels almost exactly the same to me as 2020.
Exactly the same. Nothing has changed whatsoever. So, but here's to positive thoughts and getting in a groove in 2021. And hopefully, I don't know. What do you think? In like 6 months, we're back to normal?
Well, I think fingers crossed. At 6 months. That's what I'm hoping for. But I guess this is just a time for all of us to update our vision boards, right?
Yes, exactly. And I know people are missing gatherings and they're missing concerts and shows. And I don't think any of us expected it to last this long. So it's been a difficult time for so many people. I'm noticing people getting a little bit more anxious and agitated and just ready to get back to normal.
Well, and you mentioned, Dana, people missing gatherings, but if you looked at the Las Vegas Strip on New Year's Eve, you'd never know that those people were missing a gathering because it looked exactly like any other New Year's Eve that we've ever had here in Las Vegas. People were packed on Las Vegas Boulevard right there in front of the Bellagio fountains.
Yeah, it's so true. The images that we have seen, I'm like, wow, what's going on there? Plus, it was like freezing cold out. So I'm shocked. I'm like, do people want to get out that bad? But I mean, what do you think it was? I'm assuming it's people that drove in from Utah, Arizona, California to do something during their New Year's Eve weekend.
Yeah, I would imagine that it was a lot of drive-in traffic. And what surprised me is that they actually shut down the Las Vegas Strip to vehicle traffic like they usually do. But when at a time when they're supposed to be discouraging people from gathering, I was just surprised that they actually went ahead and shut down the strip and allowed only pedestrian foot traffic on there, because I feel like that encourages people to go out. Now, usually New Year's Eve in Las Vegas draws in, I don't know, 350,000 people just for the New Year's Eve festivities. We're not going to see any numbers like that, but there were still a good amount of people, and not only on the Las Vegas Strip, but also downtown.
Right. I mean, you know, it seemed like it was a good time had by all. People looked like they were having fun, but yeah, you look at it, you know, and if you're a little more careful, you look at it from a distance and go, oh, I don't know about that. But there were fireworks that were in the air. Those are COVID free, right? Fireworks that you look at in the sky. So that was great.
They sure
over
are.
The plaza.
Over the plaza. If you stay home and watch them on TV.
Exactly. I went to my parking garage. I live south of downtown. So I was in my parking garage and I watched the fireworks, the second half of the show from there. And it was really well done. So, you know, kudos to the plaza for still creating some type of celebration, I guess, for New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And as we've mentioned on past episodes of Vegas Revealed, the plaza was the only large firework display, official firework display that was going off in Las Vegas. The normal firework display on the strip was canceled this year. So even that made it even all the more perplexing to me why so many people would go down there on Las Vegas Boulevard when there weren't even fireworks. It's like they just went there to gather and, you know, whatever.
I guess it just shows like people really love Las Vegas and they like to get their Vegas on and they don't care. It's cold out. There's, you know, this pandemic going on.
Pandemic be damned. But you mentioned that people were downtown also, and there were a couple celebrity sightings.
Yeah, I saw at Circa that Jeremy Piven, the actor, he was there along with Mike Tyson. They were celebrating their New Year's Eve at Circa. Saw a picture of them over there. And I know Circa opened now to rooms. So a lot of people were able to actually stay at the hotel for the first time as well.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people down there at Barry's Downtown Prime. That's the steakhouse over there at Circa. And they also have just opened up the Legacy Club, which is essentially like the rooftop lounge over there at Circa.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice, doesn't it? I've seen some pictures. I'm like, wow, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, and there was a big, there was a gathering up there. And of course, I mean, you're not going to find a better spot to watch fireworks at the plaza than, you know, being up at the Legacy Club and looking down on the plaza and having the fireworks shoot up to your level.
Exactly.
You know, something that I did tune into was the Las Vegas, the official Las Vegas countdown to 2021 with DJ Vice. It's something that we talked about last time, that they were blowing up 2020 and officially welcoming 2021. And it was cool to see that. I mean, it was a pretty big production that they put on, and it looked to me like it was on the far east side of the Las Vegas Valley, just out in a big empty plot of land, it looked like. And yeah. You know, they had the fireworks going off. They had a fuse that lit and traveled over to 2020 to make the big, you know, the big boom and make the big 2020 sign fall over and burn. So there was definitely a good way to end 2020.
Yeah, definitely. In the best way that we can, right? Or we could.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Well, we look forward to getting Las Vegas back in business. As I said on another podcast, we got to get the Viva back in Las Vegas. And it's going to happen this year. I feel it. When that will be, you know, nobody knows. But we're glad everyone, and we hope everyone had a safe New Year's Eve. And we've got a great interview coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. A longtime Las Vegas headliner, Matt Goss, is sitting down with us here on Vegas Revealed to talk about new music and a new project aside from the music industry that has a lot of people listening.
Oh, yeah. And he's got some great Las Vegas stories to tell because he's been a headliner for more than 10 years. So we catch up with him coming up next on Vegas Revealed. Hey, if you're thinking about starting a podcast in the new year, we have a great place that you can go to get you all set up. It's called Buzzsprout. It's what we use here at Vegas Revealed.
Yeah, Buzzsprout is so supportive of the podcasters under their umbrella. There are regular updates that are sent out through newsletters that give you some really great information about how to sound the best, how to attract advertisers, and really how to connect best with your audience.
That's right. And many people ask, how do I get listed on all these apps? How do I get on Apple? How do I get on Spotify? Well, Buzzsprout does it all for you. It's really, really simple. So here's the deal. We put a link in our listener notes, click it, and it's a referral code. So if you sign up, you will get a $20 Amazon gift card. And, you know, their monthly subscription is really affordable, Sean. It's $12 and you get everything.
One low price and a huge support system for all of your podcasting needs. It's a one-stop shop at buzzsprout.com. We are back on Vegas Revealed with a global pop star, musician, author, and humanitarian who has made Las Vegas his home for more than a decade now. Matt Goss rose to fame as one half of the pop duo Bross, which Goss started with his twin brother Luke. Goss has gone on to sell millions of albums all over the world, all while trying to keep his personal life as private as possible. But that's all changing now that Matt Goss is giving us a glimpse at his life through his first ever podcast called Conversations. And Matt is joining us on Vegas Revealed. Hey, Matt.
It's nice to see you guys. And first of all, thank you for that introduction. And secondly, why are you so awake?
Because we wake up early
I
now.
I understand that.
It's like a pandemic.
You're just so awake, guys. Just relax, relax.
We're chipper. Listen, there's a million things to talk to you about. But, you know, one thing, obviously, we love on Vegas Revealed is Las Vegas. And you're still here. You're still doing what you do. But
but in a different way, because you're not able to be on stage, and you've been performing in Las Vegas more than 10 years. I mean, you started at the Palms, you went to Caesar's Palace for 8 years, you've been at the Mirage for a few years, and now everything's kind of at a stop. I'm just curious, because we ask everyone this, how it makes you feel, because I have a feeling that at first you kind of liked the break.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely in the beginning I loved the break, because it was like, to be really honest, it was starting to feel like work. I remember I was on my way, and I said, I've got to go work, and I'm like, oh my God, I said that, the W word. And that's really not a good word for musicians. So I was grateful for the break in the beginning. But then, halfway through, I guess, the COVID period, I really started to get a real connection towards the human condition. I started connecting on my live Instagrams, and not just talking to my fans, but people that were not fans of mine, and just general conversation about mental health and just really the general state of affairs in regards to psychologically and just the way that the government was dealing with it. And it was very, very broad and enjoyable, but mm-hmm. I didn't, but now I really am, like I said to my brother Luke actually just yesterday, I was like, I really miss getting ready for my show. I'll go out in the street and I'll go into like a mall and people will come up to me and say, hey Matt, we really, really miss your show. And it just, I've really started to understand what was fun about my show, you know, the connection and things that I can't do at the O2 Arena or Wembley or when you're playing or Royal Albert Hall. I just simply can't do the same show mm-hmm. as I do in Vegas. It's a connective, inclusive, I guess is the main word, show, and I really, really miss it.
Yeah.
Well, and what specifically are you able to do here in Las Vegas that you can't do at Wembley or O2?
Well, right now I'm really good at finger aerobics. That's my COVID workout. I tap along to many a song, and I call that finger aerobics. That's my cardio for the day. But it's I think Vegas teaches you more than any other city and venue in the world, because the truth is you'll go out and 2/3 of that room will be your room, which is great. So as Frank would say, none of my people here. And it'll be like, you'd be like, there's some of my familiar faces and they know my music. And then, but then 1/3 of that room is just read a review. So that is where you really have to truly check your ego at the door and be like, all right, I'm here to entertain you. And then in a strange way, that's where the love of what you do comes back, because you're like, I'm going to make sure that you are going to love this show. And I think that's the strange dichotomy of Vegas. It's one of the hardest cities in the world to play, but it is also the city that reminds you of why you're doing it, and that is to entertain and hopefully elevate and transport your audience. Mm-hmm. And audience members that come to see you based solely on a review are there to be entertained. And you know, you get a little bit pissed off at them at first. You know, like, do you have any idea who I think I am? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, actually, you have no idea who I am, and I'm here to entertain you and sing you. And then I always crush it, and they go, and you know.
Yeah. Well, and I always think that whenever I leave the country and I say I'm from Las Vegas, like, automatic conversation piece, right? Every taxi cab driver, every person is fascinated with Las Vegas. And I think living here, performing here, I know working here, I don't want to say we take it for granted, but we're like, oh, we live in Las Vegas. But to other people, it's such a wow factor. And I know that you're bookend by the Palms and the Mirage. But when you were at Caesars, it was a good run of 8 years, which is really difficult for any performer in Las Vegas because they switch around so much. But I remember you telling a story that the president took you into this hallway, and it's where the Cleopatra's barge sits, and it's an iconic kind of little room, looks like a barge, sits on water, and said, I need you to make something out of this. And I know that you said you felt that was a really, like, that was a challenge you were up for, and you did.
Yeah, he actually, what he said to me is, I hope you have a good imagination. And that's what he said, because the person, no names mentioned, also at the time was head of a department, actually head of 11 casinos, and they said they'd never actually even been in there. And apart from like the four regular hookers and the two locals in that bar, I mean, that's the truth. And I was like, well, I've got a very vivid and, you know, very vivid imagination. And that was an incredible experience when Gary, over a bowl of noodles in Beijing Noodle Number 9. We sat there and he says, you want a beer? I said, absolutely, I do. And we shook hands. He said, welcome to Caesars. And we just got to it. And we got the paint out, polished the brass, stabilized the ship, no pun intended, but we literally did. And, you know, I'm very proud to say, you know, I created a venue, and Gary gave me credit for that. Mm-hmm. The president of CZ said, you have forever changed the shape of this casino, and it still to this day is a venue. And I had some of the best times of my life at Caesars. They're my family. Yeah. They're absolutely my family. When I walk into Caesars Palace, the hugs, we reminisce. I still feel like it. I feel like Caesars, wherever I am, will always be one of my homes on this planet. I really love that venue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Caesars is an iconic venue with iconic history. Is it kind of surreal to be a part of such an iconic piece of not only Las Vegas history, but pop culture history?
It is incredible.
Are you a fan of global travel? Are you wanting to see more of the world yourself? Well, then you're my kind of people. My name is DeAndre Koch, and I'm the host of the travel podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, where we share stories of everyday people making the most of global travel and also teach you how to do the same yourself. You'll hear stories from people just like you who learned how to travel for nearly free, like Jo, who realized she could take her daughter to Disneyland in Tokyo for cheaper than in the U.S., or Rob, who flew his entire family of seven to Europe round trip in business class, all for less than the price of economy. Check out the link in the description for the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast to learn how to elevate your own travels.
Because, you know, like I started my career off, you know, in the pop world, and really, like, you know, neck deep in the pop world, all over the world, selling millions of records. And my granddad always used to say to me, you know, you got to play in Vegas one day, son. He used to call me son. He was a gunner in the Second World War, and he's the most, truly one of the most influential men in my life. And he used to love Mel Torme, Frank Sinatra, Andy Williams, all those great singers. And he would say, you have to go to Vegas. I never forget the day when we had the press conference to announce that I was going to be at Caesars. It was something out of a movie. There was tons of TV cameras and press and everything, and I turned up in a Ferrari and got out and walked out, and Gary Celestin, again, being a visionary and not really, you know, he cares, but only about the things that matter. He doesn't care about, you know, being politically correct. And he said, we stole Matt Goss from the Palms. And I can say that because I'm good friends with George Maloof, who I have a lot of respect for. And these are gentlemen in this town that have George Maloof, Gary Celestin, Jason Gatsworth, Chris Baldizan. These are gentlemen in this town that have really, you know, and continue to change the shape of this town, you know. And when you've got those kind of guys in your corner and you can have a glass of scotch with them and just put the, you know, talk about life and not just only talk about entertainment, that's what I always wanted this town to be, is to have a sense of camaraderie. Again, I think it would be nice if there was more of a sense of camaraderie in Las Vegas. It's becoming very corporate driven, and that cheeky kind of get in trouble but not too much trouble kind of side of Vegas needs to come back a little bit more, and we need to really take care of our artists here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know when you say cheeky, you've had a lot of fun at Caesars. I mean, I feel like before you come to Las Vegas, you have this imaginary, you know, thing in your head where you say this is what it's going to be like. But when you started performing here, you had a show here, you started spending more time here. Do you think the Las Vegas you imagined was different, or do you feel like it's exactly how you pictured it was going to be as an entertainer?
There's two answers to that. I think everything I've learned about the music industry, you should really just burn it again, bury it underground, blow it up, burn it again, and then send it off into a rocket into outer space. It has nothing to do with the music industry. Vegas is like a big cruise ship. Everybody knows everyone, and if they don't, they'll eventually know somebody that knows somebody who knows. It's just there really is a one degree of separation in this town within the industry. I think on many levels, my time at Caesars, when I would sit on the roof where they filmed Hangover, and I would hang out there with many, many people that I will not mention.
Now, was that allowed?
Is that I was going to say, that's legit? You actually went up and hung out on the roof?
Yeah, it's not allowed, but they officially turned a blind eye. But we would go up there, and I remember one time I was climbing up this ladder, because you'd have to climb up this ladder to get to the top of the roof, and I ripped my tuxedo pants, and then everybody took their shirts off, and we were just all sitting up watching all the strip, and the nightclub at the time, we could see everybody having a good time, but we were in our own kind of bubble. Seriously, it was out of like the Hangover movie, but there was an element of, it was just the right side of civilized. It was mad, because you know people, men and women, had their tops off, and then, but we were sitting there drinking scotch and looking at the strip, and I'd just done a show in the iconic Caesar's Palace. So these are things that if I didn't have those memories, I don't think that I would look back as fondly as I do, because there were all those little cheeky moments that, you know, you'd get a little nod from the security guard and they know that that was something that we did. It was an after show idiosyncrasy that just felt good.
So a word to the wise when visitors can come back to Las Vegas. When you're walking the strip, don't ignore the rooftops of the casinos, because you might get a little peep show up there, huh?
Yeah, well, that's just wishful thinking, Sean. I know.
But yeah, I mean, listen, some good times through the years. And I mean, when it comes to, you know, performing in a smaller venue, you still continue to perform all over the world. You were recently in Ireland and London. I mean, so you're still doing bigger shows. You did shows with your brother, and then you've done your own solo shows too. So you have such like a variation of anything. Is there a favorite, or does each one kind of, you enjoy it all?
I'd be lying if I said that playing 25,000 people at the O2 isn't a thrill. Mm-hmm. You know, we played a couple of nights there, we sold it out in 7 seconds. So like, it's the fastest sellout in history. So when you have those moments, those big, fantastic, larger than life moments, I'd be lying if I didn't say that they are kind of what you live for in some ways, because they are so exciting. But then you'd find yourself playing all these venues, much, much bigger, obviously, and then you come back and you go, oh, I know. You come back to your room at Caesars, for example, and you just know the sound. My sound guy, Kenny, big shout out to Kenny. Kenny's been with me for many years, and it's just a sound. Like it's like coming and sitting in your favorite armchair. It's the sound you understand. The geography of the room is something that you truly understand, and there's a sense of accomplishment in a beautiful way, in the fact that you've come home and you indeed have a place to come home to, which is called the Gossy Room, which even to this day I still have to pinch myself, the fact that I've had a few of my own rooms in this town, and it's been over a decade. It's one fifth of my life, you know, and one third of my life professionally. Mm-hmm. I've been in Vegas, which is an incredible thing, and I'm not done yet. I'm still looking forward to conclude some of the conversations I'm having with some casinos here, Caesar's Palace.
Well, we need shows back. How are you feeling about that? Do you feel it's going to come? I mean, obviously it has to come back. Do you think it's going to be different, a different Vegas? How are you?
I know Vegas Revealed is very, very upbeat and everything, but the truth about it, and the not so good side of Las Vegas, is that musicians and entertainers in this town, we're not robots. We can't just suddenly be expected to turn it back on. We've had loss in our lives too. We've been financially crucified. Many, many people that don't have a global audience like myself have really felt it. And we're not robots. We are emotional people, just like everybody else. In fact, in some ways, we're probably more emotional, because we draw on emotion to write songs and lyrics and then perform them from a place that comes from a very deep rooted emotional place. I think that the entertainment community could have been more informed, more taken care of, and more nurtured in a way, because we are always the first to be called upon to lift people's spirits. And I do believe that this town has a duty to take care of the entertainers, because it's called the entertainment capital of the world. And I think there's never been a more vivid understanding of what that actually means. It's not the restaurant capital of the world. It's not the dog park capital of the world, but I do love my dog park here. But it's the entertainment capital of the world, and that is what brings in the big numbers. You know, after my show, I say, hey, guys, I'm going to Sushi Roku. It's a great place if you fancy a late night bite. And after my show, the restaurant would be full. And I was there recently, and they were like, we need more Magosh shows because, you know, you would always bring an audience. I mean, entertainers support local businesses here, not just the big, fabulous places, but, you know, a couple of places, you know, Naked Fish on Durango. I love Vintner Grill. I love places off the strip and on the strip. But we are, as a community of entertainers, whether you're a singer, a magician, or Absinthe, a big Cirque show, we are the people that bring in the numbers. And I think, I hope, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be lovely to think that some of the heads of casinos would, you know, reach out to some of the entertainers that are destination points. You know, my show is a destination point for over 10 years. And I had a very, very big manager ask me, do you know what's going on? I'm like, absolutely no, I don't. So I think that would be a misconception externally out of Las Vegas, that the entertainers are being informed. But we're not. And I really hope they don't just expect us. It would be very arrogant just to expect us to turn on a dime and go, okay, when do you need us? Mm-hmm. Give everyone listening that's an executive out there, I guess I can say it because I'm not afraid of this conversation, because I don't want entertainers to feel afraid of this conversation. It's true. We are human beings. Reach out. Give them enough time to acclimate to what they have to do. You know, warm up the voices, warm up the limbs, and really be prepared to, quote unquote, entertain this city and the world, because the world comes here. It's not just locals, and I would love it more than anything, actually, when locals would come to my show, but the world comes here. And we owe that respect to the entertainers to, you know, get the ignition switched on before you rev the engine.
Yeah, and I think that communication is definitely going to be one of the major issues for entertainers and for casino workers across the board, once the town gets back up and running and we are able to, you know, have shows back on stage and audiences back in those seats.
There is an emotional fatigue for everybody, also for an audience. I'm not expecting the audiences are suddenly going to be like, entertain me. But also for artists, there is an emotional fatigue. There is a sense of loss. You know, artists in this town have a massive sense of loss and routine. It's an incredible feeling when you enliven an audience and transport an audience into a place of euphoric kind of joy, and I'm in Las Vegas. But remember, after a show you go home and you have to find the strength and the emotional drive and intelligence to get back on stage again. It's been a year and I feel it. I know a lot of my colleagues and peers feel it. I think there is such a thing as COVID fatigue, and there's also a performance fatigue. You know, ironically, the more you sing and the more you perform, the more you can sing and perform. Like, it just turns up. But when you don't sing in full voice, for example, and you don't use your full voice for my show's, what, you know, at almost an hour and 45 minutes, you know, you lose the muscle memory. So I just really, really want to put out there, it's a real thing, and I really want people to understand, just because, you know, they might be on a billboard or you might see somebody on a billboard, it doesn't mean that there isn't an emotional and performance fatigue that's set in, and we need to be conscious of that, I think.
I want to talk about the potential of new music coming out and the new podcast called Conversations. But first, quickly, looking back at your history here in Las Vegas, you've racked up several awards.
I have, and I've been very, very honored to receive.
We made him go get them, by the way.
Yeah,
so
they did. Because
he has them on demand, but that's because we told him to get them.
Yeah, I don't sit here and hold my awards like some sad bastard that's like I've got no company. I'm gonna hold on. And
but it is cozy, isn't it?
It looks so nice on the little table next to you.
It looks very established. Yeah, I've received many awards over the years, and there's something about receiving awards in this town because it's so competitive and there are so many options. There are hundreds of shows at every given moment in this town. So to win an award is an incredible thing. I'm very proud of this award. It's the Icon Award from Caesar's Palace. I won this And the same night as Marie and Donny Osmond and Wayne Newton, we all won it on stage at the same time. We performed a song together, which is also an honor because I love those guys. But also the same day as Tony Bennett. Mm-hmm. Wow. So as you can see, it's, you know, I'm getting into this because this is all carved. It's crystal. It's beautiful. It's got my name on it. I'm very proud of this. It's an icon award. So, and then I've got the key to the city. Oh, sorry, the key to the strip. I should say, I get corrected that on every time. I've got the key to the strip. It doesn't open any doors. And you don't get free anything.
It's nice, though.
But it's nice. It's carved. Again, it's all engraved. And it says key to the Las Vegas Strip. So that was nice. They gave me Matt Goss Day as well. Proclamation of Matt Goss Day. I've got a beautiful plaque downstairs that's on my wall. Mm. Thing. And then there was an award recently. And I'm a sadistic kind of... I have a very sadistic sense of humor. So that's why I'm going to talk about this. I think that the people that gave me this award will understand the intention of this. It's just a bit of fun, but... It's a very, very special award. I actually won. It was the best lounge act of all time.
Amazing.
Wow.
Big award. Massive, you know. And I was like, wow. And then I got a message saying, this has to be hand-delivered to you. It can't be anyone. And I live in a gated community, so I let, you know, I'd made room in my where my awards go. And anyway, so the next day, I missed it. And they're like, look, we have to deliver this to you, and it has to be personally signed for... I'm like, this is a big deal. I'm like, you know, I'm getting excited. So I cancelled my whole day the next day. So this award is actually from Las Vegas Weekly. And it's a big deal. You know, Las Vegas Weekly, I think I've been on the cover. Mm-hmm. I really was excited about and honored by this award.
When from the sounds of it, it sounded like you were getting the crowbar out of the garage to pry the crate open and pull this award out and place it on a pedestal.
It was. And look, I'm going to be really honest with you because I am horrible. And this is what turned up. And if you can see at the back here, this is the award. And I would be
lying.
Should
we put this on our YouTube? And so everyone can see it? Yeah.
So this is the award. It's photocopied. If you can see, I've never done this. It's the first time. This is an award exclusive of my award. So I'm not being ungrateful. Just please bear with me. But if you look, this is my award. Oh no!
Oh, that's the blank. That's what it comes
that's
in.
Not the award.
That's how the frame came. That
comes
holder,
with the frame
holder piece.
But you can see anyway. It was done on a photocopier, and the ink's running out. So it's actually this is the award.
It's a high gloss paper.
Yeah, it's pricey. And there's three colors involved.
So Las Vegas Weekly, you know I love you. And I wouldn't be me because I always give my audience shit as well. The reality is, after this COVID thing's over, there's a lot of entertainers. We want, of all time, this is 11 years I work for this. What are you doing to me? I'm just saying. But listen, I'm very, very proud of this award, but your award game needs to be a little bit. Your award game is a bit.
But what an honor.
Don't even go there, Rizzoli. Dana Rizzoli. Vegas revealed is what an it is an honor. That's my point. But there's a lot of, and I'm pretty sure some of my sadistic fellow entertainers that won awards feel the same way as me. I stayed in all day for that.
I mean, my senior picture from high school might be in a better frame than that.
Yeah, the guy that came to deliver it for me. It was an event. I opened it, and anyway.
All right, so we've talked awards. Should we turn and talk music a little bit?
Yeah, because you've been working on a new album. I've heard a bunch of the songs. It's incredible. It's fun. It's a beat. And there are other songs on there, too, that are slowed down a little bit and beautiful. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. So, I mean, you seem really excited and proud of this one, and I know you're itching to get it out.
I am. You know, I completely disconnected from music in the beginning of COVID. I was like... I say the beginning of COVID, we might still be here in 3 years. So if at the moment, my perception of the beginning of COVID, I switched off from music and I really felt a connection to the human condition and I was loving my lives and actually getting a glimpse into the world of my fans and people that were not fans. And it was very, very enlightening to me. And I really could feel myself learning and I loved that feeling. And it was, you know, I'm so private, and just to go live, and I remember when I went live the first time on my Instagram, it was just kind of a scary moment, and I like that feeling of getting butterflies when you're not in your element, you know. But then I started to sit on my piano and go up into my studio and just start to play around with some things, and I just started to write song after song after song, and I think I'm one song away from completing the album, and it's
wow.
It's definitely turning into something that I purposefully have wanted to create hit records, not just an album. And that isn't selling out, that isn't just trying to write commercial music. It's me as an artist remembering that feeling when I would have those big number one records in the past and go, I want to find a path back to that place because I love pop music and I love commercial music. But I wanted to write commercial music that was also emotionally intelligent. So I've really been lucky enough to work with people like Jacob Bunton, Jay Rustin, Dave O'Day, some really, really great people, and Babyface. So I'm very, very blessed to be able to work with some incredible people, but I'm also blessed to feel very prolific as a writer right now. It's I can't wait to get this out, and I'm not letting anyone hear it because no. I want it to come out as a complete body of work with videos and everything. It's really, really special. I'm very proud of it.
Well, I was going to say, over the past decade plus, people who have come to see you here in Las Vegas have gotten to know you kind of as a crooner, and it sounds like this is really bringing you back to your pop roots.
Yeah, it's a strange one for me when I get asked about the crooner thing. I mean, it's definitely a part of my life that I absolutely adore, that will stay with me. Without question, it's going to stay with me. And but my core is rock and roll and pop music and larger than life performances, and that's definitely a part of me. So I think people from Las Vegas probably know me as that, but my life is much bigger than that and broader than that. It's multifaceted, and quite honestly, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do shows in Las Vegas and also do shows abroad.
Well, and I think when people would come to the shows, I mean, you had those moments where you would whip out the guitar, you know, or you play on the piano, and everyone was just like, wow, that's the thing. Like, he's a crooner, but there's a lot he can do, you know, the variety and styles that you bring.
Yeah, for me, I'm not a crooner. For me, I'm a soul singer, and I'm a soul boy. So for me, Frank Sinatra is a soul singer, and so is Mel Torme, and so is Stevie Wonder, and Donny Hathaway. These are the singers that have truly changed the shape of me in the best way, and also meaning that you're able to undress your soul to an audience, because you can't expect an audience to come along with you if you're not being quote unquote truthful about what you're singing, and you don't remember why you're singing that lyric. There is a place that you have to go to, often quite painful, to sing in a certain way to move an audience, because if you're not being authentic, the audience won't come back, and that's not the reason you do it. But I literally physically love the way singing feels.
And is there a target date for the album to be out?
Without question, the first single will be out in March.
Oh, soon.
Wow.
Yeah, the album will not come out unless it's released in the right way. So we're putting all that stuff, all the behind the scenes stuff in place right now, but it's going to come out in a beautiful way, and every song on this record right now could be played on the radio.
Great.
You could throw a dart at any one of these songs and you could say that's the next record.
Yeah.
It's strong.
True.
It's exciting.
It's really good. It's really, really good. It's hard to decide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dana.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to talk quickly about After the Screaming Stops, a documentary that you are in. What was it? Two years ago now. Yeah. With your brother. And it's incredible because I've seen other documentaries on Netflix and other places. I watched Taylor Swift's. I've watched, I don't know, things like Paris Hilton's and other just documentaries recently about celebrities or even about music. And it never kind of holds. I even watched Garth Brooks, who I love, and it was a little slow for me. But your movie, and I say this, we are very close friends, Matt and I, but I want to point out that it really is one of the best documentaries that I have ever seen. The way that it was done, you know, it's about music, but it's also more about heart and your relationship and what fame did to you starting so young and how you've turned that into a life for yourself now as a grown man. And it's won a BAFTA. It was nominated for two BAFTAs. It's won a National Film Award. It's won film festival awards in the United States. GQ said it was the best music documentary of all time. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, this is a documentary that people need to see. And I know it was life-changing for you as well, right?
I don't think it's true at all. I think it's a terrible film.
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes because a lot of people, you know, they Google first and they look and see, do I want to see this as good? It's like 100% is incredible. I mean, like The Godfather, I think, has like 98%. So, this is a big deal.
No, I think, thank you, first of all. It's amazing actually hearing you describe the movie and knowing all of that's true in the fact that like, it was the accolades and it became something that was a cultural phenomenon, really. It was, I remember just when the movie came out and just social, I thought my immediate was like, oh no, what's happened? What's wrong? And it just, the swell globally just started to just fall in love with this film. And you were right. It is about music, but it's really more about sibling rivalry, the dysfunction of family. It's also, it's just, there's so much that this film addresses. And for me, it was like having therapy in front of the world. You know, that movie will forever be there. And yes, there are sound bites in there that don't have context either side, but it's funny, it's quirky, it's extremely emotional. We dive deep into the issues of me and my brother that we frankly hadn't addressed about when my sister was killed, and also the death of my mother more recent history, but we simply hadn't addressed it with each other. And the cameras caught that emotion and the anger. There's a lot of anger in that film, and there's also a lot of pain. So I think we didn't want to make a movie that was, oh, look how great we are, and sugarcoat the music industry or the entertainment business, because one industry should not be sugarcoated. You are swimming with sharks in the music industry. Yeah. You are literally swimming with sharks. And me and my brother have been in the industry for 3 decades and we have sharp teeth. And we both speak in analogies because we're artists and it enlivens the English language. And I think that's really how it's felt at times. It's bite or be bitten. It's like we've fallen. And you can see that in the film too. We have fallen our ass and we've dusted ourselves off, and that's testament to being our mother's sons. Yeah. And we were raised in a way that we would have to just dust yourself off and put your left foot in front of it, the right foot. But we were also taught that you must remember to dance along the way and enjoy those moments. And I think in some ways, as an artist, I feel more relaxed because of the hardship, that I feel less guilty about the good times. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like, as they say, I paid my dues. I mean, I really have.
Yeah. Speaking of the movie, I always said to Sean, a lot of people are saying Matt needs his own podcast, right?
It's true. And people, there were actually recently, the documentary re-aired, I think it was in Australia, and one of the comments from somebody in Australia, they wrote to you and said, Matt, you need your own podcast. And lo and behold,
that is one of the most profound segues I've ever heard. Yeah,
I just thought of it.
You just thought of it? Well, yeah, in fact, I do have my own podcast now called Conversations. And it's, you know what, it's given me such joy. It's new in my life to be working with you guys. You know, you guys are producing this podcast with me. What is it, Bobby's?
Matt has a French bulldog called Reggie. You might have heard him drinking earlier.
Come here, baby. So now that little moaning was this. Yeah. He wants some emotion. So if you hear any noises, that's my French bulldog, Reggie. Yeah. Hello, darling. Listen.
Oh, listen to those puppy kisses.
Oh. Where were we? Oh, yeah.
The podcast. So you're enjoying the podcast.
It's new to me, but it gives me such joy, and it allows me to talk about my inner philosophy, my outer philosophies that I've read, and the human condition, and just talk about things that aren't really spoken about. Like I think some of these podcasts for me they over communicate. Yeah, some issues just have to be addressed directly. They don't have to be draped in psychology, and it's just basic human emotions. And it's an amazing thing to be able to have a platform now that I can't see it going away. I love the idea of having a podcast that grows. I'm not obsessed about chart position, but we are doing well. We've gone into the top five all over the world.
It's amazing. You know, I was looking, and it was like Switzerland, Great Britain, Hong Kong, Italy,
Nigeria,
everywhere, yeah, Hungary.
Yeah, it's just really, really incredible. And I think it's just a place where I've found that I can communicate in the way that I like to, and also involve my listeners, where they just put hashtag MG conversations on my social. And then if you have a question or a subject that you would like to talk about that's personal to you, or to do with social climate or politics or religion or whatever it may be, mental health, I'm up for it. So I also find myself that I'm learning during the process, but I also am opinionated, and I think it's important that you have strong opinions if you want to have a podcast, because you don't want to be a wallflower and not be able to state your case and actually have to stand behind how you feel. So it's a nice, I'm really enjoying the process, and the experience is something that's become as dear to me as my music.
And so this is a forum where listeners can not only be invited into conversations that you're having with guests on the podcast, but they can actually spark conversations themselves with you.
Absolutely. As I said, if you put hashtag MG conversations on my Instagram, under the last post, we will go through the questions and absolutely 100% address those issues. It's an interactive experience. It also allows us to be involved in the now. So people have come up with some great questions and comments.
Okay, so it's Conversations with Matt Goss, available Spotify, iHeart, Apple, all that. So for all our folks that listen to us, and please listen.
Yeah, and we have a link to Conversations with Matt Goss in our episode notes, so you can find it directly there and go over to Conversations, and don't just listen, leave a review and rate it too.
Do not press the one star, because it's very important. You have to press the five star at the very end. And I always say this, and with all sincerity, if you want to leave a bad review about my podcast, please leave it on somebody else's podcast, not mine.
And not Vegas Revealed.
And not Vegas Revealed. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Listen, before we go, should we ask him to a tip? Because Sean and I always do our tips for Vegas, and it's kind of like something we might love or something we know about that other people might not know about, something you love to do. So sometimes we like to put it on the guest.
Yeah, so we will hear two tips from Matt Goss coming up next on Vegas Revealed.
We appreciate all our listeners from around the world. And you know what else we really appreciate is when you leave us a review, right, Sean?
Yeah, it really helps people find the Vegas Revealed podcast. And that's what we want. We want to spread the word of Las Vegas to as many ears as possible.
That's right. So please, if you can and you listen, go leave us five stars, leave us a review. We would really appreciate it. And if you're looking for everything Vegas related, you can go to our website, vegas-revealed.com. There we have videos. We have the apps listed of where you can listen to our podcast, plus news articles too, and information about me and Sean.
vegas-revealed.com. All right, welcome back. It's time for our two tips, and this time Matt Goss is giving us his Las Vegas tips. So, Matt, let him rip.
Can I do three?
Yes, you can do three.
Okay, so the frou-frou, you know, glamorous, get ready, go out for a good night out, and just still feel like you're involved in some kind of Vegas experience during these times, would be SW Steakhouse at the Wynn. And it's just an amazing, the food is beautiful, the service is wonderful. And I will say that there's a beautiful lake, and there are shows every half an hour, which were produced, I believe, by Kenny Ortega, who also directed This Is It, the Michael film about Michael Jackson. He's also a dear friend of mine, but they've done such an amazing job, and I would highly recommend a nice night out at SW Steakhouse. Okay, now locally, every morning probably I order from a place called Toast Society, and I order the Ovo Everything. That's what I personally order. It's the avocado toast, but they put a layer of cream cheese on the toast, and then they do sliced avocado. I'm salivating, actually thinking of it. Then they do sesame seed with olive oil and a tiny bit of kind of seasoning. I don't know what it is, but it is absolutely perfect. And then I also order something which is interesting. They do serve regular coffee, but I cannot drink caffeine because it gives me the jitters, and during these times, it makes me very anxious. So I actually order the turmeric latte, which is turmeric, and I replace milk with oat milk. So they give you all these wonderful options that you can replace the milk with oat milk, hot or cold preparation. So the turmeric latte and also the Avo everything.
Avo everything.
Okay. And then I would say if you just really want a good, you want to chow down and it's just, it's another local business, is Mother Falafel. It's amazing. They obviously have falafel and but if you just want to chow down and just to have a nice pita with kebab chicken, and they can make it spicy with peppers and onions and tomatoes. It's just delicious. It's called Mother Falafel. And I just order Grubhub. And that's it. They're my three tips, I would say.
Well, you're supporting two local businesses, Grubhub and the restaurant, right?
Yeah, that's right. Those are good. Those are two spots locally that I don't hear a lot about. So I'm glad that you brought those up.
Yeah, always good to let people know, you know.
Yeah, so again, it's Toast Society and Mother Falafel.
Love it. Listen, Matt, thanks. We've enjoyed talking to you so much. We could go on forever and ever, so we'll just have you on again. Make sure, everyone, that you listen to Conversations with Matt Goss, now available, his brand new podcast. He's about 3 or 4 episodes in.
And new music coming out this spring. Look for it, hopefully sooner than later, right?
Absolutely. And I'll also say thank you to your listeners. I'm a big fan of your show as well. And please, everybody listening, do me a favor, just one thing. Call your strongest friend. The people right now that are strong that you don't hear from probably need it most. So just after you listen to this podcast, just call your strongest friend, send them a message. If you've got beef with anyone, start the new year and just go, hey, let's start again. So nothing but love to you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's officially 2020. Hey.
It is. Ring it in. Celebrate.
Oh, it's officially
2021. 2021. What the hell? No, we're not going backwards, Roselli.
Do not edit that out, because you know what? That is
exactly. No, we leave it in. We leave everything in.
That is what COVID has done to us. Yeah, happy New Year. It's 2019.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how my brain feels.
In a nutshell. My God. All right. So we're blasting through the new year. We'll see you back next week on Vegas Revealed.
Have a great week, everyone.
Have a great 2020.
See ya.
Let's go to Vegas, baby. Let's go tonight.
Right now.
Let's go to Vegas. We'll stay up all night.
Open it in.
Let's go to Vegas. Let's get away.